If you like the Live Wild podcast and enjoy hunting-related apparel, I've got you covered. I just launched some great t-shirts, hats, and sweatshirts under my own Live Wild brand. You can find them now on my website, remywarren.com. I just want to say thanks again, everyone, for all the support, and I really hope you enjoy these designs as much as I do. Who knows? Maybe you'll head over to my website and find your next lucky hat. I'm Remy Warren, and I've lived my life in the wild. As a professional guide and hunter, I've spent thousands of days perfecting my craft. I want to give that knowledge to you. In this podcast, we relive some of my past adventures as I give you practical hunting tips to make you more successful. Whether you're just getting started or a lifelong hunter, this podcast will bring you along on the hunt and teach you how to live wild. This podcast is brought to you by Mountain Tough and Yeti. A lot of the tactics I talk about here require you to be in top physical shape, so I partnered with Mountain Tough to help get you ready for the mountain. With their science-based, hunter-specific training app, you'll get in shape and mentally tough, able to tackle any hunt. Because we really believe this will help you be more successful, as a listener to this podcast, we're giving you 6 free weeks to get you started. Just use code LIVEWILD. Hey, Live Wild listeners, I just wanted to let you know that I've got some awesome new designs on my Live Wild apparel, including a really cool elk graphic that's on some Yeti Yonder bottles, hats, and t-shirts. We've also got some other new stuff dropping as well, so if you're interested, go check it out at my website, remywarren.com, and just thank you guys so much for all the support. Welcome back to the Live Wild podcast, everyone. It's crazy. It's already March and spring is on the horizon. You know, I wanted to do something for those people looking to get out this spring and start a 2-part series on spring bear hunting. It's going to be focused on spot and stalk tactics. I really enjoy getting out chasing bears in the spring. It's kind of like that after winter lull. It gets you in the big mountains. It's get to cover some awesome country and chase an animal that can be difficult to hunt. You know, this year, the winter has been fairly mild a lot of places. You know, last year we had record snowpack, and now it's like most places are under average or well below average, and a lot of warm temperatures also across the West this winter. I actually received reports and saw some articles about bears leaving their dens early in many different states, or at least bears being spotted out in a time of year than when they normally wouldn't be out. So what we're going to do is look at what does this mean, a fairly light winter, for the tactics to employ this spring. You know, bears can be one of the most challenging animals to turn up, but with a few tips, I hope that I can help you get that big brune in your glass. So this week, I'm going to dive into mild winter spring bear tactics. We're going to go over where to look, where to go, and what to think about. But first, I just want to share the story of a bear hunt from early in my hunting career. One thing that draws me to bear hunting is the fact that it can be very difficult to figure out. I'd say out of all the hunting, right? The first time I went hunting for black bears, I was probably 12 years old. And I don't think I shot a bear until I was like 18 or 19. My dad had never really bear hunted. It was like bear hunting was an incidental thing. Spring bear hunting was just a thing that we just went out in the spring and looked around for bears, and we never found bears, or we did see them, but we couldn't get in close. And I had a long string of bad luck, it seemed like, taking a bear. It was something that I really wanted to take, but we just didn't know what we were doing. We were undergunned. And like, if I could go back and take myself bear hunting, then I would have learned a lot. But over the years, I've learned a lot about bears because I invested a lot of time in trying to crack the code. It's like I could kill elk, I could kill deer. It was like fairly regular in finding good animals and those things. And then bears just were always this incidental animal that I found very hard to target. And so it wasn't until I kind of started guiding and talking with some of the guides that I worked with that did a lot of spring bear hunting. One of my buddies, Bart, kind of got me into guiding. And I started picking up a few tactics and then just kind of invested a lot more time in the pursuit of bears. And over the years, it's been fun because I've really been able to kind of, in many ways in my mind, crack the code. Because I remember those early times of not really knowing what to do and just struggle, or looking, and never turning up a bear, and then flip the script, kind of understanding bears and now regularly turning up bears. But one of the first bears I took, it was kind of in one of these spots where you look at something and you go, God, there's got to be bears there. And it's a place that I probably had hunted multiple times for other things, but never really went there to specifically target bears. And so just to build like what kind of terrain it was, it's like higher elevation mountain, but also in a big burn. And at the time, it was a fairly recent burn. And so what had happened was you got standing dead timber, you got the logs that had fallen over, you've got a lot of green grass, and it was it's kind of a north-facing slope. There's north and south-facing exposures on it. So big mountain where you've got kind of both of the exposures. And so the particular, I kind of gravitated toward that south-facing side, you know, where the snow had been burned off. And in this like big area, there was a lot of finger ridges, and then in those ridges would be like little creek bottoms. And for the most part, it had grown back. It was old enough burn. Let's say it's probably 4 years old at this point, maybe 5 years old. So it had a lot of brush regrowth, and especially in those like creek bottom parts. And then there was a few places where the pines hadn't burned, but in the draws, I would say it was like a lot of brush. And then on this mountain too, there was like a lot of really old logging roads. Like you couldn't, so overgrown, probably, I don't even know when they would have been logged, probably in the 40s. I don't know. Maybe they were probably logged with horses, right? Like it's cart and horse. No, I think that like they just been abandoned for years. Like you could barely walk down them, I would say. Just very overgrown. And then the burn came through, and now you've got like all this brushy. So you've got the hillsides that are kind of starting to regrow, have alders on them. The real wet spots have thicker alders and other, maybe some willow, maybe just a lot of thick brush, and then open burn. And so what I noticed was certain times a year in both the fall and the spring, there's a point where this area, it'd be kind of hard to glass. And then there's a point early and late where the leaves would essentially be dead or fallen off. And so it kind of opened up a lot more country. And there's a lot of good grass around as well. So a lot of good feed, a lot of water, and in many ways cover, because it could get into these little pockets, brushy pockets, whatever. So on this particular day, it was pretty hot. And I just decided I'd seen bears hitting water fairly often. It was just kind of the thought of like, I can get on this face and look into these little spots and I can see a lot of running water, so I'm just going to glass around that. So I'm set up glassing, and I was glassing for quite a while on this particular day, just scanning the water. And then all of a sudden, I look and I go, bear. And it was that, I don't even remember if it was through the spot, like through the binos or just naked eye, like saw bear. And I knew it was a long ways away. And the problem that I'd had a lot bear hunting was the fact that I would see a bear and the bear would cruise. And then by the time I got over there, there was no bear to be found. And this bear was on the move, no different. But it, like, I saw it for a second and disappeared. I could see it in some deadfall and then the brush. And I probably would not have seen it in the brush, but there was no leaves and on the alder patch that it kind of went into. And then he's kind of coming toward me, but disappeared. So I had kind of the immediate thought, I should watch him, but then also had the immediate thought, I need to get closer. Like I'm a mile away and I need to cover country. I was above him and he was down lower in this pocket. So I'm watching. My plan was I'm going to keep an eye on where he's at and then just essentially book it over there as fast as I can. So I was literally running through over logs, like keeping an eye, making sure I didn't lose him. And then I catch a glimpse of him glassing and then, oh, there he is. And he was kind of moving in my direction and I continued to drop down. So I dropped down and there's like a finger ridge that he was on and he went into this brushy patch. And there's like, imagine like a water draw coming down. And I assumed it was like 350 yards. I ranged it and it was right around that. So I saw the bear and then I dropped down to get position, lay down with my pack and the rifle. And the bear had gone behind some stuff, like bigger logs, and disappeared. Well, I had, in other times, something like this would happen, but the bear would disappear because it's just like gets in the brush and then decides to walk up the creek or down the creek or whatever. In this particular case, there was enough area around where there wasn't leaves where I could see the bear. So the bear pops out. I've got him in the crosshairs, but it's just too thick, although I can see him. So I just keep tracking him, disappears. I then readjust and I'm waiting for the bear to pop out. I've got one little gap in like the alder brush, but I can see him coming. So I can see him through there. There's a gap and I line it up. And at this point, I am very excited because, you know, I'd put in a lot of time to try to figure out bears and it just wasn't working out. And now I'm like, all right, my heart is in my chest. I've got this beautiful, like, if I was to ever pick one bear to shoot, like in my mind, this was always the bear. It looked like a small grizzly bear, the color, like the light back was not a grizzly bear, don't worry. Light color, like a really blonde back, chocolate legs, just an absolutely beautiful bear. And so I line up the shot and boom, shoot. And I'm by myself and I can hear the hit and the bear disappears. Like I know I hit him. Now I can't find him or like don't see him because he rolled down into the steep thing. There was another ridge in front and it's just super thick in there. So I decided to go down there. I actually had my pistol with me. I don't know why I decided. I don't remember what I did. I must have brought my rifle, but I thought like I dropped my pack down at the bottom. This is weird. I don't know why I did this, but I ended up like, because there was a spot where I was like, I got to crawl into this little thing and I hope the bear's dead in there. And I didn't want to have like my pack on and the rifle. So I just crawled in there with my pistol because it was very, it died in this like super thick, brushy, steep gut, like it had fallen into the gut. And so I couldn't see, I saw where the bear went or figured where it would go down, but I knew like I'm going to be on my hands and knees in there to pull him out. So I crawl in there and fortunately the bear had expired pretty much instantly from the shot. And I had my bear. It was a really exciting experience. And just one that, you know, when I think about hunting and the times that I've been more excited than anything, that definitely stands out at the top of the list. There's just something about bearing down on a predator that has kind of a different level of excitement, especially for the first time. And now since then, you know, I've been on many, many successful bear hunts for myself and for clients, guiding a lot of successful bear hunts. And I kind of feel like it's the same for a lot of people. I've noticed over the course of my guiding career, I'd say the animal that gets missed more than anything would probably be bears. Probably for a lot of reasons. Some of them are like, I just think though, it's, you know, a couple of things like picking an aiming point can be difficult because maybe it's all one color, like a solid black color, or they just don't have that same definition as other ungulates like deer, elk, antelope, that kind of thing, sheep, whatever. But there's also just this kind of extra level of excitement. It's like an animal that has teeth and claws, a predator. I don't know. There's just something very exciting, especially on your first bear hunt, that just kind of adds to the mystique and excitement, I think causes a lot of people to miss. I've seen more bears get missed than any other animal on the planet, which is unfortunate because it's probably the one you work the hardest for in a lot of ways because, you know, they can be reclusive. It's not like there's a herd of bears out there. It's just like a couple bears in a canyon. You got to have the conditions right. You really have to understand where they're at. Yeah, you can luck into them many times, sometimes. But like I said, growing up, we tried to luck into them and it just never happened until I really figured out what they do, kind of cracked the code and was able to target them. And then by targeting them, success went from never seeing bears to harvesting a bear every season, every year. So it was a big difference. And that's just, you know, I think the other thing about bears, right? Like people that don't understand hunting management, you know, maybe there's a lot of people even listen to this podcast, like I don't think I would be into bear hunting. We eat the bears we hunt. I eat the bears that we shoot. I like bear meat. I would say I don't like it more than elk meat, but it's definitely edible. You know, it's like do a lot of slow cooking with it and sausage and other things with it just because I want to hit that temperature where I don't get in trouble with trichinosis because I would assume pretty much every bear has it. However, you know, we eat the bears, and also it's a really good way to kind of manage the population and protect our deer and elk populations. I've seen firsthand how easy a bear can go through a calving and fawning area and just slurp up elk calves and mule deer fawns, especially mule deer, man. I've seen areas where I'll walk through in the springtime, you're hunting bears or looking for shed antlers and find a dozen or more carcasses of brand new drop mule deer fawns. And you're like, okay, why are our mule deer populations suffering? Like, I love hunting mule deer. And then you see, you know, bear just chomped through them. And evidence of it being a bear and not a coyote based off of swallowing nearly the whole thing. and just bear crap everywhere and like sign of bears. So a lot of predators, but you know, I think bears definitely are really successful at with, especially if they're good nose picking out those fawned animals. I actually saw one year a doe that had probably tried to protect her fawn and was tore up and then found a dead fawn nearby. So they definitely get after the deer and elk in the springtime. So that's my little two cents on bear hunting. But yeah, it is very exciting, very rewarding in the fact that, man, if you think you're just going to go out and find a bear, you probably are going to run into a lot of complications in the finding the bear process, because it's a very difficult hunt for a lot of reasons. And I think that that's what makes it so rewarding. So today, I'm really excited to jump into some of this cracking the bear code and share some of these tactics with you. When I think about bear hunting, especially spring bear hunting, one thing that you have to understand is environmentals are a very large factor when it comes to successfully targeting and hunting bears. What I mean by environmentals is, what was the previous winter? What is the current, you know, weather in winter? What are some of the temperature swings, moon phases, drought conditions? Like, all these things play a big factor in finding bears. And the primary reason for that is, if you want to understand bears, you have to understand bear food and forage. Bears are driven by their stomachs. And if you can locate the areas where they're feeding, you are going to find success. If you can understand there's a lot of landscape here, now how do I narrow it down to a small place? And that depends, right? Like, some people don't have spring bear seasons where they're at. So maybe they've got a fall bear season, and it's like, some years there's acorn crops and it's like on scrub oak and there's just a million acorns and the bears are just hammering those acorns in places like, I don't know, certain places in Utah, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, whatever. And then other years that those don't even exist, and the food source shifts, or there's a early winter or a late winter. When it comes to spring bear hunting, right? Last year, there was a lot of snow, which means a couple of things. Sometimes bears will continue to den. Other times they emerge from their dens, but they find kind of a lack of food where they're at. So they might need to travel to food, or the foods that sources they'll pop up earlier start to change. And then they might have to target things later on to catch up. Or maybe you've got a really hot bear spring season, and the things that I might focus on, maybe more water than feed. So the environmentals make a big difference. And so today we're going to look at, you know, as of right now, many places where there's spring bear seasons had a abnormally light winter, we're going to call it, where snowpack was down, winter was warm. I saw a news article come across my feed. You know, it's just one of those Google articles. I don't know if it's targeted toward me because I read everything that says the word bear in it or whatever, but it was talking about bears emerging from their dens in, like, this was in, I don't know, January, December. And so, you know, you're like, oh, if a bear leaves its den now, I don't necessarily think that in some of those places the bears are done hibernating, but bears aren't like true hibernators. In fact, they don't sleep the entire time. They will move around. They can pop out and pop back in. On winters where I've found sometimes real big winters and also early winters, you just find it at different times. Like, bears first will kind of emerge and then kind of camp out around where their den is. So they'll come out, they'll look around, they'll check things out, they'll go back, they'll bed back down for however long, and maybe they just aren't moving as much, or maybe there's a good food source nearby, and then they will access that. But a light winter can mean a few different things. And I think one of the primary things when it comes to spring bear hunting and understanding places to get into, places to hunt, is the winter really maybe doesn't even affect certain bear habits as much. I think it will in certain ways, so we're going to talk about that. But what it definitely affects is hunter access. And what I mean by this, like, think about last year. There's a lot of places where the bears were, but it was very difficult to access when they were there. Like, you couldn't drive up a lot of roads, even through majority of the first part of spring bear season. It's like you either had to have tracks or a snow machine, and then you get out, and then it's like trudging through deep snow and very difficult condition for travel. Now, this year is a lot different, where if there's not that snowpack, you're going to be able to access a lot more places. So that just in some ways allows you to go more places, in other ways kind of increases the amount of places that the bears could be or you could hunt, right? So your access has definitely changed. And we're going to think about that in terms of where should I look. So you have, with a mild winter, the possibility of that leaving the den early. I would say traditionally, and this is just, I'm basing all this off of my experience hunting bears as a bear hunter, not as a bear biologist, not as whatever. But traditionally, what I notice is the first bears that tend to emerge from the den are generally large, mature boars. In my estimation, there's a few reasons for that. They get hungry, they go on the hunt, and it's not like they're in the den raising young, right? So they've expended less energy than probably many of the sows that gave birth in the den. So you would think like, oh, they could sleep longer, but they emerge and they go on the hunt. I've actually seen multiple instances where they'll cruise around and actually dig up cubs and kill the cubs. I've heard that it's for potential to breed them later, because you think about a bear's cycle is they come out of the den and then they breed pretty much end of spring, early summer, at least in a lot of places that I hunt. That June time frame is when they start to pair up. So it makes sense, like a mature boar goes in, kills, and then he's got more sows within his territory that he can breed. Also, great food source for a big mature boar. But also those big boars, I feel like they'll cruise and then they even cruise back. I'll catch a lot of them early season, like crossing big snowfields right now. Okay, that bear went up, he got fat in the fall, he went high, he denned, and now he's like popping out, checking things out, maybe cruising around, popping back in. And then you start to see some of the sows and cubs start to emerge. Now, on a light winter, how's that affect things? Well, you know, early some years, I feel like the bears are not fully out of their dens when the season starts. Like last year, it seemed like early season, a lot of the bears maybe just, it's like they get out and they go, dude, it's still an absolute ton of snow. They don't necessarily know how far they're going to need to travel to get into good food and forage. So they just kind of conserve their energy and wait a little bit, which is nice. But there's some benefits to animals, bears leaving their dens early for hunters. So with a lighter winter, that might mean that there's forage and food around. And so when a bear emerges, they go, oh, this is nice. Like right where I'm denned, I can go out here and start eating. Some of the first stuff that I look for is that new growth. That's the highest nutrient. So any kind of neon green grass on the mountainside, new buds on plants and other things, they'll pick that highest nutrient piece of feed. So the possibility of bears leaving their den early can do a couple of things that might be negative or positive, depending on where you're and how you're hunting. Let's say a positive thing is if you're hunting early, there's going to be more bears out and more opportunity to spot bears. A negative potential could be it gives them more time between when the season opens or when you're hunting for them to disperse from their normal places they might be. So on normal years, you might go into the high country and it's like, okay, this is where I'm locating bears because they're emerging from their dens and then they're hitting these like avalanche chutes and other things. And on a really warm year, they hit that early and they've already moved on to other types of food sources because there's multiple food sources, many places. So there's more food, more places, and it spreads the bears out. So what we're going to think about is, okay, with that knowledge, where do we look? So they can do two things. They can stay near their den, but venture out. And these are going to be the bears that are high up. And then there's going to be bears that cruise and move. And those are going to be the bears that get out, move to those food sources lower down the mountain. And those are often in more road system, heavily timbered. If there's at least good moisture and, you know, they've had ample time to disperse. Well, now they can kind of spread out. There's like less concentration of specific food sources. So with that warmer weather and that lighter winter, it makes it more difficult to narrow down where bears are. But here's where you get the benefit. So when it's early, it's good if the bears are out and the foliage is not necessarily full yet. So what that does is, I'm just going to say in some ways, on a light winter, I like to hunt earlier because what that provides is you're going to run into the problem of bears coming out and then they're going to start to disperse. There's going to be food multiple places, so you can't necessarily pinpoint it. Like the longer the spring goes, the more food sources are going to be until a certain point. And then, you know, you're kind of going to run into the problem of everything getting leaves on it. And what that does is narrows down the amount of places that you can easily glass. So on a light year, I'd probably tend to go earlier for the fact that I'm in there. There's going to be a lot of bears out. So I know that I'm like, sometimes you go too early and there's not enough bears out and it just makes it difficult. But I'm going to try to catch it early part of the season where the alder or the thicker brush doesn't necessarily have its leaves yet, because that's going to be the places that the bears are cruising and moving. That's the place where they mostly cruise and move, but you can never see it because you're glassing and you got to have them pop out in the open. So it gives you an added advantage to see the ground in a way where you can start to grid and pick apart maybe a bear that's sitting down, maybe a bear that's moving through those wet corridors. Like the bear that I shot, he was in a gut where it's like, if it had been fully brushed in with leaves, I would have never seen that bear. It was open enough where I could identify the bear and then, you know, keep tabs on him. Of course, I still lost him so many times, but the initial spotting of the bear was because I could see into where the bear was. So it opens up those kind of areas with a higher percentage chance of multiple bears being out. It makes it a really good time to sit down and pick those places apart, because it's like, you can see in there now and you won't be able to see in there later. It's a place that bears travel. That, to me, lines up as a successful opportunity for bear hunting. Now, it allows for that, you know, better glassing opportunity. Now, let's say we're like, okay, well, you get in, maybe it was no other snows happened. That's the one thing about sometimes you get a really mild winter and a really wet spring. That kind of changes the game a little bit, but we aren't going to know about that yet. So sometimes it'll be a mild winter and then it snows every day in March and April. I've seen it. That makes it difficult for bear hunting. That's just like the toughest thing. In some ways, though, it helps in where you can kind of identify more food sources easily because, look for those burned off sides. As a snow line recedes, you're going to get a lot of green up there. But one thing that we can think about, let's say it's a mild winter and not a spring like that. Well, we're essentially set up for drought conditions, and bears need that continual new growth to really stack on the pounds to start building up. As soon as they emerge from that den, they're preparing to hibernate for the next year, and they bulk up with a lot of fall crop. They start to transition from grass early and first when all that new growth is coming up. So let's say we've got a bear season that goes into May, end of May, maybe even June. And you go, okay, well, these bears that are in potential drought, now we can kind of start to narrow down some places they might go, because there's going to be less grass availability, less good growth, less new growth, and they're going to need more food supply. This is a time where I feel like they hit those calving areas even harder. It's a good place to kind of look in those areas where it's like deer fawning, elk calving, and focus on in the late part of the season, maybe as they start to transition into that bear rut, they start to hit those particular areas a little bit harder. And that's where I like to transition my hunting focus to in that late season. This is just a theory. You know, I try to, before I even talk about it, look back and like, what was the winter that year? Yeah, saw a lot more bears that year in this kind of particular country. Another thing is, you know, focusing in on those areas where, okay, maybe it's those south-facing slopes have dried off, but those north-facing slopes are maybe a little bit more lush, and therefore, okay, it kind of narrows down our bear focus that time of year. Another thing is, let's say we go in from a light winter to a dry spring. water is going to be a huge key. And if we can, if we then transition, like the trend continues and we transition into a hot spring, focusing on water sources is huge. Bears utilize wallows, they utilize creek bottoms, they utilize that water quite a bit to cool down, to drink, to just whatever they like to do, swim around. I mean, you see it all the time. I would say one of my favorite tactics is when it's dry, you can narrow down water sources. And when it's hot and dry, I can really start to pinpoint where bears are at. I've talked about it before, but I've put a lot of cameras on water sources, especially isolated ones. I originally started to do it in the summertime for elk, and then I realized that, man, I am finding more bears than I thought ever existed in these places. And then kind of transitioned that to tactics in the spring, targeting those water sources for bears, and maybe not necessarily sitting in the water, but hunting around multiple areas where I can look into water or know that there's water, especially when it's a lot more sparse, the temperatures heat up, and there's not as much water everywhere. Last year, you could go into any canyon anywhere, and a spring that maybe hasn't run for 20 years was just pumping water. It was a very bad strategy to target water for bears last year. It was just kind of made it tough in some ways, but in a year where it's a dry winter, where rivers and creeks and springs are starting to choke up, it could be a very successful strategy for those that are getting out later. Now, kind of another downside and something to consider is with a light winter, right, you've got faster regrowth. Dude, I've seen things budding that shouldn't be budding. I've got plants popping up that there's snow in the mountains, but there's some faster regrowth in some of the lower stuff currently. And you're going to get, it's going to provide less opportunity to see into some of that higher stuff. So that makes hunting difficult, but also starts to push bears down earlier in some ways. You'd think like, oh, they've got plenty where they're at. They would stay up there, which is true. But also as those things start to dry up, maybe they start to disperse a little bit more. So I would also say like it's a good year to kind of focus on multiple different types of terrain and topography, finding like where the grass is when it's there. So you might have that early north-facing grass growth that, you know, normally would have snow, but now it's starting to grow and stays lush. And then you're also going to get growth, not just low, but higher as well. So, you know, it can spread the bears out. I would say, I guess I kind of am talking around myself, but I would definitely say targeting higher elevations early will probably be successful. They might be in those earlier higher elevations even later. But then I would probably transition to those places where it's like maybe isolated pockets for bears that have dispersed, like finding in that timbered country where it's like they got what they needed up high early and then they've kind of moved out and started to disperse because they've essentially they're kind of a week or two ahead of where they might have been on a normal year. And so because of that, it allows you to target other things like water if it's scarce. Areas where, hey, maybe it's timbered and it's not drying out. Like those big alpine basins might dry out a little bit sooner, even though they probably have more water than other places. And you might get those kind of wet places that held snow in the timber where that new grass starts to pop up on logging roads and other things a little bit later. So you can kind of spread out and hunt different types of terrain habitats and probably find success based on where you're finding that food, the time of year, and then how the spring finishes out. If I were to give you, based off this winter, like what I would focus on, I would think that my initial tactic would be hunting early, hiking somewhere, sitting and glassing and covering as much country with my optics as possible. Because there's a lot of potential for bears to kind of eat anywhere when it's like a light winter, especially early. So my strategy would be to primarily target good glassing vantages that cover a lot of that neon green grass growth. I'm going to look for that bright color, maybe potentially snow line, fresh bud. I'm just going to, not Bud Light or marijuana, fresh buds on trees. And I'm going to just sit back and I'm going to try to cover as much country as possible with my glass. I'm going to have my optics on a tripod. I'm going to probably be using high power binoculars, and I'm going to just kind of grid the area, continually scanning with high power, have a spotting scope handy, and then binoculars. And I'm probably going to pull that spotting scope out and scan those like brushy areas that don't have leaf cover, that that foliage hasn't grown back on yet, because it's going to be food source, as well as I'll be able to pick it apart and look in there if I take it slow enough, because that's primary travel routes for bears. And so I think that by kind of combining all those things, I'd be very successful early in the season, utilizing kind of what nature's given us and focusing on those things. I hope you guys enjoyed part one of spring bear hunting. Like I said, glassing is going to be a huge tactic. It always is if you're talking spot and stock bear hunting. Whether you're in thick country, I'm still using my optics, like probably just use my chest rig and that kind of stuff. 10 by 50s is what I like. I've got the UHD Vortex 10 by 50s. If I am just getting serious about spring bear hunting, I've got a lot of optics in my pack. I'd say my pack is optics heavy, kind of similar to a mule deer hunt where I'm looking for a certain kind of buck or really want to turn up a buck in open country. A power of 12, 15, 18s is incredible. Like if you were going to add something to your setup and you're like, I want to really get into spring bear hunting, I want to get serious about it, what would be a piece of kit that I should look at? I would definitely say that. You know, also, or just glassing from a tripod with what you've got. You know, using a tripod to glass with your binoculars really increases the magnification in a way of the stability adds for your effective use of it. If you're hand holding a pair of 10 powers and you're hand holding a pair of 15 powers, I'd say that on a tripod, your 10 powers would probably be equivalent to the spotting power of your 15s. The magnification isn't more, but your usability of that glass just drastically increases, as well as just stability and usability. I mean, it's actually a very good correlation of that added stability. So on these spring bear hunts, you got to like understand that when I talk about spotting bears and whatever, I generally spend a lot of time hiking into somewhere. I spend a lot more time sitting down looking. So get comfortable, get a glassing pad, take that out, sit on it, tear the mountainside apart. You know, Vortex, awesome sponsor of this podcast, supporter. I've used their stuff for years. They've got multiple different optics in that they've got, I used a few years ago, a pair of, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I think they were Diamondback 15s, a great price point. And I spotted a lot of bears with them. Currently, I use the Razor UHDs and the, I guess they'd be 18s. But there's a lot of years that I just ran 12 power binoculars and on the tripod and then have my spotting scope in there as well. Because especially early season, I feel like later, like years where I'm hunting more open country and I can't really see into the brush, I don't think that my spotting scope is crucial. But early season like this, when I can really pick apart those bear travel areas on the edge of the open, on the edge of an avalanche chute, like I don't know how many bears I've spotted early season, edge of an avalanche chute where they're feeding in that like open slide area, maybe not necessarily rock chute, but where the trees have just been ripped down by snow. There's still like snow up above, so it's just pumping water down below. It's this real bright green color because it's darn near a marsh on a vertical hillside. And then you've got like the edges where it's just ripped up and now it's more like alder and stuff growing back before you get into the big timber. That's where I catch bears traveling, or in the middle of those avalanche shoots, that like real brushy stuff before the leaves get down there. I'll throw my spotting scope up and I'll just pick it apart. I haven't spotted a lot, but I have spotted a few bears bedded in that stuff. Like when you see a bear bedded, you go, oh buddy, this is my opportunity of a lifetime, because they're hard to pick up when they're laying down. A lot of times they're in just pretty thick stuff. And when that happens, it gives you time to get into position, because one of the hardest parts about spring bears, they're moving, they're cruising, and they just move in and out of position. By the time you get there, they're either there or gone, or they might still be there, but they're just holding in something thick and you just don't know. So I think that that's a really good strategy. And if you were to increase a piece of gear for spring season, I would definitely invest my money in optics, or if you're a rifle hunter, something where you could shoot, you know, like a adjustable turret scope, because you can just dial it in and shoot cross canyon, which prevents you from having to be 10 yards away and cross raging rivers sometimes. But that would be my suggestion. And I know Vortex is awesome supporter of this podcast, so they've got some really good options and a lot of different price points. You know, next week, I called this a two-part series because I wanted to touch on the light winter aspect. Those questions I got asked a lot, but I also kind of want to talk about some of the strategy when it goes to, I like hunting, I'll just put it this way. I like hunting bears in multiple different types of terrain, varying terrain throughout the season. So I love hunting that high country, back country stuff, but I also have found a lot of success in some of my best bears in that more timbered logging road country. We're gonna call it like that mid-range country where they're kind of out of the alpine already, but they're in that thick timber. It's like, how do you find bears in that stuff? They could, it's just miles of trees, not a lot of long range glassing, although there is opportunities for that. So we're going to talk about what I'm going to call it next week, the three G's: gas, grass, and glass. You aren't going to want to miss it. Until next week, bear down. We're going to get after some bears and some bear tactics. So I'll catch you guys later.